Good morning. My name is Julianne, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to H2O Innovation's annual general meeting. At this time, all lines are placed on mute. I would like to turn the call over to Edith Alain of Vous la Parole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Julianne. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mon nom est Edith Alain, secrétaire d'H2O Innovation, et je souhaite à tous la bienvenue à cette Assemblée générale annuelle des actionnaires tenue à notre siège social. Let me welcome you to our annual general meeting of shareholders held at our registered office in Quebec City. I also welcome the attendees who joined this meeting by webcast or by phone. Afin de débuter, permettez-moi de prendre quelques instants pour vous présenter le déroulement de l'Assemblée. Nous débuterons tout d'abord par la partie formelle présidée par Mme Lisa Ann Thorne, présidente du Conseil, qui se déroulera majoritairement en anglais. Suivra une présentation de la direction animée en anglais par M. Frédéric Dugré, président et chef de la direction, et par M. Greg Madden, chef des stratégies d'action. We will start with the formal part of the meeting that will be chaired by Ms. Lisa Ann Thorne, chairwoman of the board, and conducted mainly in English. Mr. Frédéric Dugré, president and CEO, and Mr. Greg Madden, chief strategy officer, will follow with the corporate presentation that they will deliver in English. A question and answer period will conclude the meeting. For the shareholders who attend this meeting in person, questions can be asked by raising your hand at the appropriate time. For attendees who join the meeting by webcast, questions can be forwarded by clicking on the question mark icon below the presentation at the bottom of your screen. For those who join the meeting by phone dial-in, questions can be asked at the end of the meeting by following the procedure to be explained later by the operator. Pour les actionnaires qui sont présents dans la salle, vous pourrez poser vos questions en levant la main au moment opportun. Pour les participants qui joignent l'Assemblée par web diffusion, les questions peuvent être transmises en cliquant sur l'icône de point d'interrogation se trouvant dessous la présentation au bas de votre écran. Pour ceux qui joignent l'Assemblée par téléphone, nous vous demandons de poser vos questions à la fin de cette Assemblée en suivant la procédure qui sera expliquée par l'opérateur. As with any technology, unexpected glitches may occur, but the streaming network or service provider for this platform is very experienced at running this type of event and will help us out. Je cède maintenant la parole à Madame Antoine. Now over to Ms. Antoine.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this annual general meeting of shareholders of H2O Innovation. As the board chair of H2O Innovation, I'm pleased to be speaking with you today for our 20th annual meeting. I know everyone in attendance is as surprised as I am to find that we're still dealing with COVID almost 2 years since it began. I'd hope to be with you in person in Quebec City today, but travel logistics were very problematic. H2O Innovation, however, has learned to navigate in this new world with impressive agility and efficiency. The company's creativity in dealing with COVID impacts that I spoke to you about last December, that taxed us to find new ways to conduct business, new protocols to protect our employees, and a constant vigilance to profitability, has continued to reap rewards through 2021. As I reflect back on the year, I feel both pride in the company's accomplishments and also great excitement for the new year. Seeds the company planted through 2020 and 2021 have grown strong roots that will enable hearty organic growth at an opportune time as the desalination market is anticipated to add record volumes of new installed capacity next year, and the world pushes us to greener, more sustainable infrastructure solutions. This past year has confirmed the resilience and robustness of our business model that uses three pillars to leverage profitability and to smooth out the peaks and valleys associated with the water, wastewater capital project business. ESG principles have been a cornerstone of H2O Innovation since its founding, while a renewed appreciation for the importance of these factors in the health of the planet and lives of our employees and clients has spurred us to develop a formal ESG plan for the coming year. This plan will guide our continued care of the planet and our employees and customers, and will fertilize and sustain the long-term strength of the company. Frédéric Dugré, our CEO, and Greg Madden, the Chief Strategy Officer, will speak more on this landmark plan during their presentation. Some of the company's most significant accomplishments this past year, the seeds I mentioned earlier that were planted, include strategic geographical expansion of the global distribution network for specialty products, which include the specialty chemicals and components that supply the desalination industry. At the beginning of last fiscal year, the company acquired Gulf Utility Services in the Houston, Texas area, which allowed us to consolidate and expand our operations and maintenance business in that geographic area. In addition, the company added two new important O&M projects in Mississippi and Rhode Island this year. The acquisition of GMP in Spain was completed, extending chemical supply, lab, and technical services across the desalination market, including Latin America, with an established office in Santiago, Chile. The two specialty chemical companies, PWT and Genesis, were also consolidated into one group and leadership, facilitating operational efficiencies throughout the supply chain and customer interface. One of the high points of the year was winning the supply contract for our green chemical anti-scalant for Tooele, the world's largest desalination plant, which is located in the United Arab Emirates. Our water technologies and services group, the historical foundation of the company, has secured a record backlog in new projects this past year, complemented by significant organic growth in the service team that brings new customers to the broader H2O Innovation family of companies. The company also increased our manufacturing capacity by 40% in our Ham Nord facility to address growing demand in the maple business. At the same time, we've expanded our UK facility to almost double our manufacturing and inventory area to facilitate increased product throughput in specialty chemicals. Things are not all rosy, of course. As we look forward to 2022, we see new challenges: a troubled supply chain, tense competition for talent, a planet grappling with climate change. Last December at our annual meeting, Frederick presented the company's initial three-year strategic plan. I'm happy to report that the company exceeded its initial year one plan in almost every metric and is on target to accomplish a similar feat this fiscal year. Frederick will be giving a more thorough update of the strategic plan during his presentation, with projections for the subsequent third year of the plan, which will also address the challenges I just mentioned. Now, I would like to introduce the co-presenters this morning. Frederick DeGray, Director, President, and CEO, will present the updated strategic plan, as I mentioned, and will be joined by Greg Madden, the Chief Strategy Officer, in presentation of the ESG plan. Edith Allain, Vice President, Corporate and Legal Affairs, and Secretary of the Board, will act as Secretary of the meeting. Let me also introduce the H2 Innovation Board of Directors and Advisors that have been instrumental in facilitating the company's success this past year. Richard Hull, Vice Chairman of the Board, who I can always count on to keep us focused on what's really important on any issue. Pierre Cote is one of the leading technologists and thought leaders in the global water industry. His sense of direction on how the industry is moving helps maintain the company's leading edge, and he also leads our Strategy, Large Projects, and Innovation Committee. René Vachon joined the board in 2018 and has played a key role in defining and meeting our governance metrics in his role as chair of the Governance Committee. He has graciously agreed to shift roles and lead the Audit Committee this coming year, for which he is very qualified. Stefan Gurin joined the board in 2019 and has brought a commitment to operational efficiency and overall profitability to the board, and I'm very appreciative to Stefan for always encouraging us to look at an issue from a new perspective. Alisa Speranza joined our board last year after years as an advisor to the board. Her strong background in O&M, governance, and all things ESG make her a key addition to the board, and she will take over leadership of the Governance Committee this year. Louis Verneau is new to our board. His experience from years in investment banking and now at SNC-Lavalin is an exciting addition to our board. And, of course, Frederick DeGray, our CEO. Also, please welcome our advisory member who supports our Strategy, Large Projects, and Innovation Committee, Mr. Leonard Graziano. We are very fortunate to have such a distinguished industry leader contribute and advise the board. I would like to sincerely thank the members of the board for their leadership this past year and their collective support and vision to make the company best in class. I would particularly like to thank the Governance Committee for the additional work this year supporting management in defining and refining the company's ESG plan. Now, before we move into the rest of the meeting, I wanted to take a few moments to provide a foundation for Fred's upcoming remarks and talk about the desalination market and also touch on H2O Innovation's importance as greener, planet-friendly solutions become a priority around the world. First, let me address the desalination market. These market dynamics continue to shape the company's three-year strategic plan, particularly as our specialty products gain market share throughout the world. As I reported last year, the desalination industry has completely recovered from the slowdowns of a decade ago, with mega RO desalination plants in excess of 300,000 cubic meter per day capacities common today. This year, we saw growth in the industry of over 8%, with a total new installed capacity of 5.1 million cubic meter per day. According to Global Water Intelligence, in 2022, new contracted capacity is forecasted to approach 10 million cubic meter per day, almost doubling the capacity added this year. To put these numbers in perspective, the total installed desalination capacity in the world today is approximately 130 million cubic meter per day. To understand how H2O Innovation benefits from these market dynamics, it's important to understand that not only does the company sell various equipment and component products to the contractors supplying the desalination market, but subsequently sells chemicals and consumables for use throughout the operation of the facilities on a recurring basis throughout the plant life. Last, and as a lead-in to the ESG plan, we've entered a new era in infrastructure development in the world. Priorities are shifting. Companies and municipalities are now calculating their carbon, energy, and water footprint. Greenhouse gas reductions will be required across society, while there will be pressure to recycle and reuse every drop of water. H2O Innovation is uniquely poised to help both industry and communities overcome these hurdles. I know you're excited to see how H2O Innovation fosters and supports these changes in infrastructure solutions over the coming years. In closing, I've spoken in the past of my experience with H2O Innovation over the last decade. I've even attempted to define the company as a growing, caring, smart company with a strong culture, integrity, and an appreciation of the diversity needed to be successful. Over this decade, I've seen the leadership mature to hone their skills and apply them to the benefit of the profitability of the company while remaining mindful of the priority of the health and welfare of its employees and clients. I'm very honored to be a part of H2O Innovation and could not be more excited for 2022. Thank you. Now over to you, Edith.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Now let's move on the formal part of the agenda. I now declare this annual general meeting of shareholders of H2O Innovation open. The items that will be covered today are detailed in the Management Proxy Circular and in the notice of meeting that were made available on the corporation website. Les questions discutées aujourd'hui sont détaillées dans la circulaire de sollicitation de procuration de la direction et dans l'avis de convocation qui sont disponibles sur notre site Internet. L'ordre du jour a été établi afin que nous puissions traiter le plus efficacement possible des aspects formels de l'Assemblée. Today's agenda was structured so as to meet the statutory requirements in the most efficient manner while keeping as much time as possible for the presentation that will follow and the Q&A period. Pendant la portion formelle de l'Assemblée, seules les questions des actionnaires présents dans la salle seront considérées. Nous répondrons aux questions transmises via la plateforme en ligne et par téléphone à la suite de la présentation de M. Frédéric Ducret. During the formal part of the meeting, only the questions from shareholders who are attending the meeting in person will be considered. We will answer the questions forwarded via the online platform and by telephone following Mr. Ducret's presentation. Over to you, Lisa.
We will begin by appointing Edith Alain as Secretary of the meeting and Bertrand Guy and Philip Santos from TSX Trust Company as scrutineers. Once again this year, the corporation has elected to use notice and access procedures to deliver the notice of meeting, the Management Proxy Circular dated October 21, 2021, and the annual report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021, to its shareholders rather than mailing these meeting materials. As per the notice and access procedure, a notice of availability of materials was sent by mail on November 5, 2021, to all holders of common shares registered at the close of business on October 22, 2021, detailing how to access the meeting materials online and how to obtain paper copies. The Secretary has confirmed that the notice of the meeting, along with the proxy circular and the annual reports for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021, were made available to the shareholders of the corporation on November 5, 2021, on the corporation's website and under its SEDAR profile. Back to you, Edith.
The scrutineers have advised me that we have at least 241 shareholders present at this meeting, in person or by proxy, representing 42,498,202 shares. The shares represented at this meeting carry in aggregate 49.65% of the total outstanding shares eligible to vote at this meeting. Therefore, the meeting is declared duly convened and constituted for each of the issues that will be proposed. Over to you, Lisa.
The minutes of the previous meeting shall be approved by the shareholders. A copy of them have been posted in the handout section of the electronic platform. It can be accessed by clicking on the page icon below the presentation at the bottom of your screen. Do we have a proposition as to the approval of the minutes of the shareholders' annual general meeting held on December 8, 2020?
Madam Chair, my name is Mathilde Antival, and I move to approve the minutes of the last shareholders' annual general meeting.
Madam Chair, my name is Joanne Antival, and I second this proposition.
Thank you, ladies. Over to you, Edith.
The minutes of the annual general meeting of the shareholders held on December 8, 2020, are now approved, and the Secretary will ensure to insert such minutes in the Corporation's minute book. Over to you, Lisa.
The next item on the agenda is the financial statements of the Corporation and auditor's report thereon. A copy of the financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021 is contained in the Corporation's annual report, which was made available to the shareholders in accordance with the notice and access procedures. The financial statements are preceded by a report from the auditor, who was nominated by the shareholders. I ask the Secretary to include a copy of the Corporation's annual report in this meeting's proceedings. We have reached item 7 of the agenda, the election of directors. In the proxy circular that was made available to the shareholders, management has proposed a list of 8 nominees for the director positions for the next fiscal year or until a successor is appointed. The nominees are myself, Lisa Henthorn, Ms. Elisa Speranza, Mr. Richard Hoyle, Dr. Pierre Coquet, Mr. René Béchon, Mr. Frédéric Dugray, Mr. Stephen Guerin, and Mr. Louis Verano. All nominees are already directors and stand for re-election. Are there any other nominations proposed by shareholders present in this room?
No, there's no other proposition on that end, Lisa. Thank you.
As there are no other nominations, I therefore ask shareholders to nominate and support the appointment and election as directors of the nominees submitted in the Management Proxy Circular until the next annual meeting or until a successor is appointed. Do we have a proposal for the election of each member of the Board of Directors?
Madam Chair, my name is Gregory Madden, and I move to approve the nomination and the election for the director positions of the nominees proposed by the management in the Proxy Circular.
Madam Chair, my name is Marc Blanchet, and I second this proposition.
Thank you. Now back to you, Edith.
Thank you. In the absence of any other proposal for this election, I hereby inform you that the proxies received have been voted as follows in favor of the election of the director's name in the management proxy circular. Pierre Côté, 99.76%. Frédéric Dugré, 99.9%. Stéphane Guérin, 98.69%. Richard Hall, 99.75%. Lisa Henthorn, 99.58%. Elisa Speranza, 99.58%. René Vachon, 98.53%, and Louis Veronneau, 99.76%. Therefore, I declare that each of the proposed nominees was duly elected as director of the corporation for the coming year. Je déclare que chacun des candidats proposés par la direction a donc été dûment élu à titre d'administrateur de la société pour la prochaine année. Now, on to you, Lisa.
The next item on the agenda is the appointment of the auditor. As described in detail in the proxy circular, management proposes that Ernst & Young be appointed as auditor of the corporation for financial year ending June 30, 2022, and that the board of directors be authorized to fix its remuneration. I now ask the shareholders to propose and support the nomination of the auditor for the next financial year.
Madam Chair, my name is Marc Blanchet, and I move to approve the nomination of Ernst & Young as auditor of the corporation.
Madam Chair, my name is Johnny Neves, and I second this proposition.
Thank you, gentlemen. Back to you, Eva.
Frédéric, are there any questions related to the appointment of the auditors in the room?
No, I don't see anyone having a question here in Quebec. Thank you.
Thank you. Je déclare donc la résolution adoptée et confirme la nomination de Ernst & Young à titre d'auditeur de la société. I declare the resolution passed and confirm the appointment of Ernst & Young as auditor of the corporation. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of an ordinary resolution ratifying, confirming, and approving an advance notice bylaw. As described in detail in the proxy circular dated October 21, 2021, the corporation's board of directors adopted an advance notice bylaw, which must be submitted for confirmation by the corporation shareholder. L'objectif du règlement relatif au préavis est d'établir les conditions et le cadre dans lequel les détenteurs d'actions ordinaires peuvent exercer leur droit de soumettre les candidatures d'administrateurs. Le règlement prévoit une date limite à laquelle ces candidatures doivent être soumises avant toute assemblée annuelle ou extraordinaire des actionnaires. Il définit également les informations qu'un actionnaire doit inclure dans l'avis écrit à remettre à la société pour que celui-ci soit valide. The purpose of the advance notice bylaw is to establish the conditions and framework under which holders of common shares may exercise their right to submit directors' nominations. This bylaw provides for a deadline by which such nomination must be submitted by a shareholder to the corporation prior to any annual or official meeting. It also sets forth the information that the shareholder must include in the written notice delivered to the corporation for it to be valid. Over to you, Lisa.
Thank you, Edith. I now ask the shareholders to propose the adoption of an ordinary resolution ratifying, confirming, and approving the advance notice bylaw.
Madam Chair, my name is Jenny Davis, and I move to approve the adoption of an ordinary resolution ratifying, confirming, and approving the advance notice bylaw.
Madam Chair, my name is Mathilde Ball, and I second this proposition.
Thank you. Back to you, Edith.
Frédéric, are there any questions related to this bylaw in the room?
No, I don't see anyone having questions here in the room. Thank you, Edith.
Thank you, Frédéric. Therefore, I declare the resolution duly passed and confirm the ratification of the advance notice bylaw. Je déclare donc la résolution adoptée et confirme la ratification du règlement sur le préavis. Over to you, Lisa.
As no other item has been proposed for inclusion in the agenda within the prescribed time, we will now proceed with the adjournment of the meeting. This concludes all matters before our annual general meeting of shareholders, and I now declare the annual meeting adjourned. Thank you for joining us today. Is there a proposal to this effect?
Madam Chair, my name is Joanne Christoff, and I move to approve the adjournment of the meeting.
Madam Chair, my name is Gregory Madden, and I second this proposition.
Thank you. I now declare the meeting adjourned. Now that we've completed the formal part of the meeting, over to Frédéric Dugray and Gregory Madden, who will present the first ESG plan of the corporation and comment on the three-year strategic plan. A question and answer period open to all attendees will follow the presentation. Over to you, Frédéric.
Well, thank you very much, Lisa, and thank you again for attending today. Donc, comme on vous l'a mentionné, il y aura une période de questions à la fin de la présentation. Si vous voulez poser vos questions en français ici dans la salle ou en ligne ou dans le chat, n'hésitez pas à le faire. On verra, on s'assurera de le traduire pour vous en anglais et de répondre à vos questions. All right, so this is now the business part of the meeting. I would say also it's the fun part of our meeting. So, well, I have to say that we are truly excited and proud to present you our first ESG plan and report about sustainability. Since our very beginning, back in 2000, H2O Innovation has continuously strived to address growing water and related problems through innovation technologies and strict compliance to engineering practices. It's in our name. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA to some extent. Our passion for water has led us to build a business relying on high customer retention, innovation, and care. Although this is our first ESG report, we have been continuously improving our sustainability efforts through our environmental health and safety focus, as well as a function of what we do simplify water. It's our mission. With freshwater resources declining, new and better ways to manage water and are needed. H2O Innovation is leading the shift towards more water reuse using the best available technologies to produce high-quality water that can be used for agriculture, irrigation, industrial application, as well as indirect or potable. Talking about water reuse this morning, I want to propose you something. I want to propose you a tasting of water reuse. So this morning, for those of you who are with Quebec, so you're the lucky one because you're joining physically, you will have the chance to taste wastewater coming directly from our county that has been completely cleaned up and filtered with H2O Innovation RO membrane system and disinfected with advanced oxidation in order to give you a perfectly clean and safe water to drink, free of any contaminants, hormones, and microplastics. All right? So you should have received this little bottle, and you will see that it's written on it, get over it, right? So if you're ready, let's taste it, right? This is wastewater completely reduced, and it tastes water, right? Guys, this is our future. So being a good steward of our water resources is central to the mission of H2O Innovation. Through the years, we have engineered, installed, and commissioned more than 750 systems of water and wastewater. Every day, we treat 641 million of gallons of drinking water. On the wastewater and the water use side, we clean 108 million gallons of sewage water every day through our equipment. On the emission reduction effort, we are doing our fair part too. Since 2009, we have been promoting the benefits of our green chemistry manufactured in our facility in Vista, California. Our unique concentrated dendrimer chemistry allow our clients to save 90% of the cost of freight compared to ready-to-use chemistry. As a result, it represents an annual reduction of carbon dioxide emission of approximately 55 tons. On a similar basis, the adoption by hundreds of customers of our maple sap concentrator using membrane filtration technologies has resulted into CO2 reduction emissions for more than 2,500 tons in the last 5 years. As I said, ESG is already in our DNA. A year ago, we started to develop our ESG and sustainability plan. Going through this process, we decided to build our plan on a framework that considers Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, the ASSB, the MSCI, the Materiality Metrics for the sector in which we are active, and the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Also, we collected feedback from our shareholders, our board of directors, and our suppliers and clients. During this exercise, we have developed a set of initiatives that will drive our ESG focus moving forward. As we continue to work with our customers to deliver solutions that meet their needs, we will do so with a focus on sustainable infrastructure, resilient design, and minimal environmental impact. For these reasons, we are committed to reduce water stress and carbon emissions through different initiatives. Our employees are at the heart of what we do, and it is our commitment to give them a place that they can be proud to work. H Innovation is committed to provide a safe, fun, equitable, and inclusive workplace that fosters the career and personal growth of all employees. It is crucial for us to retain our employees by keeping them engaged. While we retain the existing employees, we want to become more inclusive also for the new one coming in. For this reason, we want to create opportunities to learn and engage with people from around the world while balancing work and home life. Lastly, we must protect our company from growing threats of cyber attacks. This is why continuous training of all the users and the adoption of cybersecurity best practices will allow us to mitigate these risks and thus elevate our governance profile. Let's look at the first pillar of our ESG plan, the environment. For this portion, we have set two objectives. The first one is to reduce water stress by improving our water stewardship. To protect this most precious commodity, which is water, we must maintain the highest standards of environmental compliance on all the plants that we operate. And we do that, we must do that all year long. So we're setting the goal, then the bar, to a 99.9% compliance all year long. Second, we want to focus now on our commercial and business development activities towards water use. To achieve our goal, we want to have, by 2030, 25% of our overall revenues want to be related to water use. To promote and endorse best practices, we are committing to the CEO Water Mandate as well. For the second objective now, we want to reach a net zero emission by 2040. To start, we'll first measure what is our current current carbon footprint. In parallel, we will take several initiatives to optimize the usage of our fleet vehicles and traveling in general. Now let's move to the social part of our ESG plan. We must create a safe place to work for all our 800 plus employees. For this reason, our objective to reduce our TRIR to 1 is set at 1 by 2025. So the TRIR is a total recordable incidence rate. So it is a way to measure your performance related to health and safety. So the calculation is done based on the number of accidents that you record, multiplied by 200,000 hours, divided by the total number of hours that you work over a year, including all the employees. In other words, a target of 1 means that you only allow to have 1 accident per 100 employees per year. So this is a quite good challenge. So if you are, let's say, currently 800 employees, it means that we're only allowed or focused to have only 8 accidents. An accident can be of different kinds. So, to achieve it, we will continue to build a strong safety culture, increase safety training, and use digital tools to track performance and encourage safe behaviors. With a challenging labor market, it is crucial to keep our team engaged as well, and this throughout their career. To achieve it, we want to maintain above 80% the mobilization index. Greg will present you that later, what was the previous score that we had in 2019 and 2020. But we'll also make use of digital tools to promote this high level of engagement. We intend to encourage as well volunteering in order to keep our employees engaged and close to their communities. Lastly, as we continue to grow, we will increase the diversity of the team that works at H2O Innovation. To do so, we will systematically be including factors of diversity, gender, and ethnicity in our interview process. To also support this diversity, we will fund 2 scholarship programs for women and people of color. Finally, looking at the last pillar of our ESG plan, we must keep the company safe from cyber attacks, thereby protecting shareholders' For this, we will continue to provide cybersecurity training to all employees. We will use the best available technologies and implement best practices to provide our digital environment. Lastly, we will make use of automated monitoring and alerting systems to identify proactively any possible cyber attacks and threats. This overall outlines the six objectives and key tactical initiatives we will address in the coming years. I will now pass it on to Greg Madden, our Chief Strategy Officer, who will present you in a more detailed manner a few of these components as part of our ESG plan.
Thank you, Frederick. And good morning to the shareholders here in the room and joining us virtually as well. I'll start with the health and well-being of our employees, which is at the heart of our success as a company. While health and safety has always been a priority for each of our businesses, only recently have we begun to adopt best practices across businesses and focus on a common safety culture. We're putting systems in place currently to help ensure that everyone goes home in the same condition as, or better than, they arrived. It starts with our HSE policy, which presents the vision for a safe workplace. The policy is communicated with the pledge card, which is given to each of our employees. I carry mine in my wallet. This card definitively communicates the authority that the company gives to every employee to immediately stop work if they feel it is unsafe. And this is done without repercussions to the employee who raises the issue. It's a statement of our approach to keeping our employees safe. We've compared our safety to that of peers across several of the business segments in which we operate. We believe that a measurement called Total Recordable Incident Rate, which Frederick mentioned, or TRIR, is the best benchmark for determining the effectiveness of our safety initiatives. Our current TRIR, you can see on the slide, is 3.6, which is in line with the benchmark average for equipment manufacturing companies. Our goal, however, is to bring that down to less than 1.0 by our fiscal year 2025, and ultimately to aim at zero. We will not compromise on building this culture of safety. Now let's move on from the safety topic, but keep on a related theme, our people. From our playbook, we talk about competing for talent. We believe that the H2O culture that focuses not only on safety, but overall care for our employees, drives higher engagement. By continuing to build a workplace that allows each individual to give their best to a team that is acting in unison to achieve a challenging set of goals, H2O Innovation has seen steady progress in the loyalty and both professional and personal growth of our employees. We measure that by what we call the mobilization index. You can see on the chart our progress over the past few years, as well as our goal for 2023. Outside of the work that we do on projects, services, chemicals, components, and operations, many of our employees have built friendships that go beyond the walls of the office. That camaraderie, that fellowship, is part of the reason for our success. The culture is tangible at all levels of the organization, and when people are engaged like that, good results follow. Thinking about diversity, 23% of our management team is comprised of women. It can be challenging in technology companies, but we know we must do better. The objectives that Fred presented a few minutes ago around diversity and inclusion will help us achieve the desired outcome of increased diversity in our workforce. This initiative is not just about numbers on paper. We truly believe in the benefits of a diverse team and want to continue to let them contribute in ways that create opportunities for everyone to grow. Good governance is directly related to sustainability of our organization. Strong and effective corporate governance also helps to build a great company culture. The H2O Innovation Board is made up of a group of professionals with a wide range of backgrounds that each bring a certain strength to the analysis of the company, its mission, and its governance. Our three board committees, audit, governance remuneration and ESG, and strategy, innovation, and large projects, serve the interests of the company's various stakeholders with relevant and specific expertise in vocation and leadership. Through stock ownership and compensation, as well as board best practices, the corporation ensures the engagement of the board to help drive growth the shareholders deserve. You can see on the upper right of the slide a few statistics about the board. Knowing the importance of diversity and the benefits that different backgrounds bring, we consider ourselves fortunate to have two women on the board, including the chairwoman of the board. In addition, the independence of a vast majority of our board members helps to ensure the consideration of the best interests of the shareholders. Beyond our walls, we expect our suppliers to also uphold strict standards with respect to safe working conditions, fair employment practices, and ethical behavior. To that end, we have developed the Supplier Code of Conduct. Among other requirements, we insist that our suppliers work within certain laws and regulations and avoid any conflict of interest. This document establishes a clear expectation for suppliers of H2O innovation and guides the way we consult and engage with them. The brand of H2O innovation is important to our global success, and we believe that we have to protect it by working with suppliers who act in responsible ways. We're in the early stages of developing this, so stay tuned for more to come. Turning to cybersecurity now, it's stunning to think that our company sees an average of 40,000 spam attacks every week. Cybersecurity is one of the biggest risks to any company. If not managed appropriately, it can represent a massive threat. Thankfully, our IT team is on top of their game. With regular training, monitoring, reporting, and simulated attacks, they are constantly verifying our defenses. This is critical to protecting the reputation of H2O Innovation and its staff. Some 250 professional H2O employees have undergone a combined 350 hours of annual training to keep the danger posed by cyber criminals fresh in everyone's mind. We all have to remain vigilant, since a single breach can have a tremendous negative impact on the future of the company. With that, I'll hand it back over to Fred for an update on the 3-year strategic plan.
All right, good. Thank you very much, Greg. Well, for us, even though this is our first ESG plan, it is our pledge, really, to address environmental problematics related to water, and to do it in a workplace where people feel accomplished and supported by strong governance and sensible policies in an ever-changing world. We will walk the talk to protect, preserve, and reuse the most precious commodity of all, water. Now, let's move to the update on the 3-year plan. Let's have a look first at the different drivers behind this giant market and understand why water is becoming so attractive to investors. Among other things, the COVID pandemic highlighted the vital nature of essential services and products. Water is certainly on top of the list with strong fundamentals. If anything, the water investment thesis is becoming even more compelling today. Demand for water is expected to increase by an additional 20 to 30% by 2015, pushed by fundamental drivers such as population growth, aging infrastructure, increasing regulations, water scarcity, and an aging workforce that operates the existing infrastructures. Even the historic bipartisan stimulus infrastructure bill proposed by Biden administration, which is of $1 trillion, which the portion related to water is about $75 billion for water only, won't be enough to do everything that is required in the United States. Also, the U.S. Southeast, Texas, Arizona, California, are facing more and more water scarcity concerns, resulting into the need of construction of multiple new water use facilities. Looking at all these different drivers, I'm more confident than ever that we are in the right sector, that our business model is robust, that our strong membrane filtration expertise will enable us to deal with growing problems related to drinking water quality and demand for water reuse, and that our synergistic business pillars makes us even more unique and financially predictable. Moving to the following slide, we see that our addressable market has not really changed since we presented our three-year plan. The overall market remains quite big at $840 billion per year. And our specific addressable market represents about $4.5 billion a year. The good news is that the forecast for 2022, as explained, you know, by Lisa earlier in the annual meeting, specifically for the desalination market, is expected to be the best year in 2022, mostly driven by upgrades of construction of new plants in the GCC region. In fact, the new contracted desalination capacity is forecasted to double in 2022 compared to what it was in 2021. This will certainly have positive impact on our specialty products businesses in the coming years, as well as for the future of acquisition that we intend to do in that space. Our key strategic objective has been elaborated with the market data, our desire to innovate, the need to improve our operational efficiency, and our appetite for complementary M&A transactions. Together, they foster the development of 10 strategic objectives. These objectives serve as the basis to enable the management team to develop their annual budget and their annual roadmap, and also develop tactical objectives in the coming 3 years. Now, let's look briefly at the progress done on each of these specific objectives. First, we want to build a safe working environment for all employees. Among the different things we have done, we officially created a centralized health, safety, and environmental function capable of supporting all business lines within the company. We also hired a new health and safety manager to lead this corporate support service team. We also implemented and rolled out a new software called Spotfish, capable of tracking incidents, near misses, and safety improvements. This new tool will allow us to track our performance more efficiently and compare it to our goal we have set for 2025, which is a TRIR of 1. As we said clearly, that we wanted to pursue our M&A journey with 2 to 4 acquisitions by the end of fiscal year 2023. So far, we acquired 2 companies in 2021. The first one, Gulfport Utility Services, an O&M company based out of Houston, was acquired on July 1st, 2020. The second acquisition of GMT in Spain was completed in February 2021, after the presentation of our three-year plan that we did last year. These 2 acquisitions were financed from our own working capital with no dilutions for the shareholders. These 2 transactions together allowed us to increase our revenue by a total of approximately $9 million in the last fiscal year only. It is obviously our intention to continue our M&A acquisition plan in order to grow the company. This is why, earlier this week, we have announced the implementation of a new credit facility of $55 million with the objective of supporting not only the organic growth of the company, but also the future acquisitions. Even though, as a water company, we are by default an environmental company or environmental sector, we want to specifically improve our ESG profile with tactical initiatives. As presented earlier, we revealed today our first ESG plan with 6 objectives that we intend to pursue in the coming years. Here we see that our focus is first to grow the recurring part of the WTS revenue. So WTS is the first business pillar, the water technology and services. So there we wanted to grow first the aftermarket services, the spare parts, and the consumables. Well, we can see that it really pays off. Since the presentation of our 3-year plan, we have been able to grow consistently at a double-digit pace our recurring revenues for this business pillar. The addition of new regional account managers and field technicians in key geographies will continue to help us to achieve our goals set for 2023. The strategy to grow first the aftermarket and the service revenues allow us to focus on building long-term relationships with customers, thus continue to increase our recurring revenues. Despite the pandemic and the imposed restriction on traveling, fortunately, we have been able to make good progress on the integration and the consolidation of the acquired O&M companies. We also began the deployment of digital solutions, allowing us to gain progressively more operational efficiency. Well, we still have a lot to do, but we're confident that we will achieve our goals and objectives set for 2023. Such digital initiatives should allow us to better serve our existing O&M customers and simultaneously improve our operational margins. Today, with the addition of new distributors, our specialty chemicals products and specialty products network counts more than 150 distributors located around the world. As previously announced, we believe it is crucial to expand our product offering through innovation in order to leverage this large distribution network and preserve the high margins that we have. Last month, during the Aquatech trade show in Amsterdam, we launched a PiperLink developed by Piedmont. This new product will allow EPC and OEM companies to reduce their manufacturing costs and gain significant efficiency and quality in the final assembled product. And the PiperLink is not only for new systems, but can also be retrofitted to existing and old systems. Earlier this year, we also introduced two new softwares used for data analysis and specialty chemical product selection. Lastly, our Maple Equipment Business Unit introduced the BioSeal, a new patented technology allowing producers to optimize the sap selection in forests, resulting into additional profit for them, but also additional recurring sales for us. On the heels of the remarkable growth of our Maple Equipment division that we had over the last several years, we indicated last year our intention to use the products and technologies developed on that business line and to further grow the business into other adjacent markets. Well, I'm pleased to report that we have been able to secure the first sales of SmartTrek technology into the irrigation market, and we did that to 10 cranberry producers in Quebec province. We are also on the verge of installing the first SmartTrek devices to an O&M municipal customer based in New Hampshire. This is even more synergies as we speak. More recently, we secured three new orders for the concentration of sugar into whey and craft beer applications, leveraging again our know-how and expertise originally developed in the maple market. To promote and coordinate the product innovation with synergistic value proposition between our different business lines, we began by creating a cross-functional team of experts that meet on a monthly basis. The sharing of knowledge through this collaboration is allowing us to capture even more synergies between the different business lines that we have. We truly believe that we have, by centralizing innovation, we will develop more suitable and cost-effective solutions for our existing customers. Now, it is imperative as we continue to grow organically and through acquisitions to implement and use data to ease and accelerate our decision process. On that front, we have continued to add and improve the features of our IntelliLogic software platform, allowing us to keep proximity with the existing customer and thus enabling us to optimize the operation of their system and continue to serve them on a long basis. The implementation of digital solution also has a positive impact on our recurring revenues. In order to maximize and to maintain our high level of recurring revenues and strong customer relationship, we have invested and we will continue to invest in our sales organization in order to provide extraordinary customer satisfaction. During the last year, we added three new sales managers for our specialty chemical group, one in Southeast Asia, another one in India, and a final one in the Middle East. In parallel, we also added four new WTS service regional account managers to take care of the growing install base that we have in USA and Canada. These commercial initiatives are really starting to pay off. Looking at all the progress made on these strategic objectives, I can say that we're starting to check multiple boxes of our 3-year plan. We are conscious that there's still a lot to be done, but I feel that we are well aligned with the progress on the objectives that we have set. This slide actually there that you see recalls the general financial targets we have set for 2023. As of today, we feel confident we will achieve both our revenue and adjusted EBITDA margin targets. Indeed, we see that not only we are in a good position to achieve our target set last year, but that we're moving the revenues to higher range. So now we're moving what was initially between 175 to 260, we're moving this range to 185 to 260. And we'll do that while continuing to push on margin expansion on our adjusted EBITDA, which we target to be between 11 to 11.5% by the end of 2023. So to achieve these goals, we will continue to grow organically, and we will continue our acquisition plan with non-dilutive acquisitions, which we will exclusively finance from our working capital and the new credit facility of $55 million that we have announced earlier this week. At this point, our M&A pipeline is rich in opportunities and diversified in size and company profile. We want to remain disciplined in the multiples that we're going to pay for these M&A deals. And most importantly, we want to continue to take the time to integrate these companies properly in order to maximize sales and cost synergies. As of today, we believe it is realistic to envision completing between 3 to 5 acquisitions by the end of fiscal year 2023. Now, looking further into the future, because we're updating this 3-year plan and adding 1 year every year, so we intend now to move our revenues from $144 million that we just finished on fiscal year 2021 to a range of $220 million to $300 million by the end of fiscal year 2024. We want to continue to expand our adjusted EBITDA margin above 11%. So to achieve these targets, we will grow organically our sales at the double digit while accelerating our M&A acquisition plan, again with non-dilutive acquisitions. We believe we will generate tremendous value for the shareholders as we continue growing the company while limiting the dilution, again, by making use of our balance sheet in a reasonable manner. Through the coming 3 years, we intend to close multiple transactions while maintaining a debt-to-EBITDA ratio under 2.5 times. Moreover, by making progress on our 10 key strategic objectives, we will continue to maximize our sales synergies and leverage our large distribution network and sales organization with innovative products, which will allow us to improve again our profitability. For these reasons, we feel confident we will reach our adjusted EBITDA margin objective. Here we can now appreciate on a more graphical representation all the progress done in the last 2 years and what we're going to aim at for the coming 3 years. Our plan is certainly ambitious, but also realistic. Our experience in integrating companies and generating value will certainly serve us well. Along this ambitious growth trajectory, we will remain extremely disciplined, as I said earlier. Disciplined operationally, financially, and for the acquisition, we will target in order to maximize the earnings for the shareholders while keeping our employees engaged throughout an amazing journey. This completes now the presentation. We're going to move to the Q&A session. We're going to first start with questions that we have maybe here in the audience in Quebec. So is there any questions that you have?
And Frederic, in the meantime, we encourage everyone that's on the web diffusion, on the webcast, to ask questions in the chat or put you in line up for a question with the operator.
Perfect. So questions for ESG plan or 3-year plan updates? Anyone in the room here? Yes. Sir?
Okay.
With Satanma?
Thank you for my very long call. It's from
pendant le début de la présentation qui est en anglais uniquement. Mais principalement pour avoir une présentation de la compagnie, connaître les objectifs de la compagnie de Jésus dans l'anglais. Ça, ça me déçoit. Pour une compagnie qui a son siège social à Québec, qui est francophone. Et en plus, avec ce qu'on a connu du mois passé concernant Escalata, c'est décevant. Là-dessus.
C'est un bon commentaire. C'est un très bon commentaire, mon cher monsieur. J'entends bien votre réaction. Je suis moi-même de la ville de Québec, donc
oui,
je suis évidemment francophone. Effectivement. Il faut comprendre qu'on a une majorité d'employés, on a 800 employés qui sont aussi majoritairement à l'extérieur du Québec. N'empêche que, encore une fois, je suis extrêmement fier d'avoir notre siège social ici à Québec. Il y en va aussi d'une question rationnelle pour faciliter aussi la compréhension de la part des analystes financiers qui nous suivent pour que eux puissent faciliter leur rapport. Si vous désirez toutefois, ça va me faire plaisir de peut-être passer en revue avec vous à la fin du meeting les points saillants de notre présentation. Et on va s'assurer d'avoir aussi l'information et peut-être davantage de faire en hybride peut-être entre les deux, français et anglais, la prochaine assemblée.
Ma question est à savoir, est-ce que la compagnie a une préoccupation pour la filtration des nanoplastiques?
Oui, donc les microplastiques se trouvent de plus en plus dans l'eau. Je vais juste traduire la question en anglais, je vais répondre en français, puis après ça le faire en anglais aussi. The question was that, are we addressing problems related to microplastics present in water? I'll answer first in French and then come back in English. Donc oui, en fait, la filtration membranaire permet de retenir ces micropolluants-là, ces microplastiques, par un seuil de coupure plus élevé. Donc, quand vous regardez la filtration membranaire, il y a plusieurs seuils de coupure qui vont de la microfiltration, de l'ultrafiltration, de la nanofiltration jusqu'à l'osmose inverse. Au stade de la nanofiltration et de l'osmose inverse, on arrive à retenir ces microplastiques. Mais c'est un problème de grande distance, ça fait partie des enjeux les prochaines années, donc les décideurs aussi municipaux, les décideurs politiques doivent se pencher pour adopter peut-être une législation un petit peu plus sévère en matière. Donc, yes, we are addressing this problem for microplastic. With an H2O innovation, we have expertise around the full spectrum of membrane filtration, going from microfiltration, ultrafiltration, nanofiltration, and reverse osmosis, at the stage of nanofiltration up to reverse osmosis, we start to remove this microplastic into water. And it is indeed a growing problem, a growing concern within the water industry, and we are prepared to address it. Now, it's a matter of having also legislators to embrace that and change progressively legislation to enforce better practice and better protection of the water. Oui, certainement.
Votre compagnie on a compris ces compagnies-là qui sont intégrées à deux autres. Est-ce que c'est d'un échange d'actions? Ce que je pense, quand j'ai entendu tout à l'heure, c'est pas d'émettre des nouvelles actions, des endettements, j'imagine.
Ouais.
Mais j'imagine qu'il va peut-être aussi y avoir un échange d'actions.
Parfait. Je traduis, je reviens. Donc, we had a question related to strategy for M&A transactions. Are we going to focus more on using our current balance sheet to raise additional debt, or are we going to use additional equity? Again, I will answer in French and then go back to English. Donc, ce qu'on compare, en fait, c'est d'abord prioriser ces acquisitions-là par voie d'endettement. Donc, j'ai mentionné tout à l'heure, on va rester raisonnable dans des multiples de moins de 2,5 fois le niveau total des dettes de la compagnie. C'est pour ça aussi que plus tôt cette semaine, lundi, on a annoncé la mise en place d'une ligne de crédit, donc une facilité de crédit de 55 millions. Au fur et à mesure que l'entreprise va grossir, mais cette ligne de crédit-là est assez aussi à grandir avec nous. On veut le faire afin de limiter, la stratégie, c'est de limiter la dilution pour les actionnaires, pour créer, augmenter le plus rapidement possible le profit par action. Sécuritaire, exactement. Donc, nous, on estime qu'à moins de 2,5 fois, on demeure sécuritaire. C'est les projections, c'est la modélisation qu'on a fait pour les prochaines années. Ce faisant,
On a modélisé, on a une pipeline, une visibilité sur des acquisitions devant nous, qui devrait nous permettre justement de réaliser ces objectifs-là, parce qu'on a quand même plusieurs possibilités d'acquisition en ce moment. Donc, as I said earlier, we're going to privilege a strategy towards leveraging more balance sheet for tuck-ins acquisition that we intend to do. And we want to do that with by maintaining a debt to EBITDA ratio under 2.5 times. We prefer to do that in order to maximize the EPS contribution, EPS accretion. And as we continue to grow, we will expect to have the revolver of $55 million as we have set and announced earlier this week to grow proportionally as the company continues to grow. Okay. But then, Matt, so Mark, we'll go back to you maybe in the chat room if you have any questions, and then we'll go back maybe in the room after or online. So on your end, any questions?
Yes, Fred, we've received a few questions, so I'll go as we receive them. So the first question that I propose is the one from Naji, who's an analyst at Industrial Alliance. So here's the question. Can you talk about the current pace of organic investment and how it supports your double-digit annual revenue and EBITDA growth targets? And he says, like, specifically organic growth expectations per business line. So I'll let you answer, Fred, and you might want me to jump in.
Yeah, so again, general, our broad strategy is to grow double-digit or more, aiming towards 10% plus organic growth. And for this, obviously, we're going to invest into two areas, invest into more salespeople, kind of a basic strategy, but add more people, more feet on the ground, as we started to do last year. As we said, 3 new salesmen, 4 new regional account managers, and we're going to do that and continue to do so to grow organically. The second area of investment will be towards technology. We're going to further invest into innovation. We want to grow further, bring and develop new products. En français rapidement, before I switch to you, Mark, notre stratégie ici, c'est d'abord de croître à raison de 10% de façon organique par année. Avec cette croissance-là, d'abord, on va l'alimenter par l'ajout de nouvelles ressources de vente. On l'a déjà annoncé un petit peu cette année. On a ajouté 3 personnes au niveau des ventes internationales pour les produits chimiques. On a ajouté également 4 nouvelles ressources pour supporter notre base d'installation sur des systèmes, donc des techniciens en service, des directeurs régionaux de service. Et la deuxième volet de cette croissance-là sera supportée par plus d'innovation, développement de nouveaux produits pour poursuivre cette croissance-là à raison de 10% et plus par année. Mark, if you want to compliment?
Yes, so Naji, here you're also asking to provide us with specific organic growth expectations per business line. At this point, we don't necessarily want to go too much into the details. We've never disclosed that. As you know, we've always given more of a bracket and an objective. I think that the history trend that you will see will allow you and the other analysts to modelize that. And at this point, I'll limit my answer to that. So maybe in French now. Ce qu'on me demandait dans une deuxième partie de la réponse, c'était de donner des attentes sur la croissance organique par pilier d'affaires, ce qu'on ne fait pas. On n'a pas coutume pour le moment de donner des guidance ou des objectifs par pilier d'affaires. Par contre, pour aider à modéliser, ce serait plutôt de voir un peu comment la tendance historique va évoluer pour chacun des piliers d'affaires. Et je pense que c'est ce qui pourra aider un peu les analystes, mais on ne veut pas donner plus de projections que ça pour le moment. Hope it answers your question. So there's another question from Naji. Can you disclose the M&A landscape? Do you still expect to complete one acquisition per year? If so, what would need to happen to accelerate M&A activity or increase the size of acquisition? I'll say it in French as well. Si on peut, on nous demande de parler davantage de l'environnement des fusions acquisitions, et puis est-ce qu'on a toujours comme ambition de compléter une acquisition par année, et si oui, qu'est-ce qui doit arriver qu'est-ce qu'on devrait faire pour accélérer le niveau d'activité au niveau des fusions acquisitions, puis augmenter la grosseur des cibles qu'on vit. Frédéric, je vais te laisser répondre.
Donc, parfait. Donc, initialement, dans notre plan 3 ans, on avait mis comme objectif de compléter 2 à 4 acquisitions pour 2023. On a donc bougé cet objectif maintenant de 3 à 5 acquisitions pour 2023. Il est évident qu'encore une fois, on veut rester discipliné dans le multiple qu'on va payer pour ces compagnies-là. Donc, c'est important pour nous de faire bon usage de notre capital, évidemment, d'être très sélectif. Mais on a encore une fois une pipeline d'opportunités qui est riche devant nous pour ces différentes acquisitions-là. So first, initially we had said that in our 3-year plan that we wanted to do between 2 to 4 acquisitions. We're now moving this target of 3 to 5 acquisitions by 2023. We feel that it's achievable. We have a great pipeline of different targets that we have for M&A transactions that will allow us to accelerate, but also at the same time, we want to remain disciplined in the way we're approaching M&A and the multiple that we're going to pay for these companies.
Maybe if I can bring a bit of complementary information in terms of size, if we intend to increase the size of acquisition, I'd say we'll stay opportunistic. You know, we, as Frederick explained, we want to stay disciplined in terms of the multiple we will be paying for this acquisition. And as we grow in size, they seem to be a bit more expensive. So we've seen multiples that are way above 15 times EBITDA, 15 to 20 times for bigger size acquisition. Therefore, it's harder for us to bring accretion to the investors. So this is why we're focusing on smaller acquisition where you have a less of a competitive environment with the other sellers. And we also think that, that our capability to leverage those small tokens is higher when they're a bit smaller. Peut-être en français aussi, ce que je voulais rajouter, c'est que en termes de grosseur des compagnies qu'on regarde, on regarde des entreprises pour le moment qui sont plus petites parce que plus on va vers des grosses entreprises, plus les multiples payés sont élevés. On a vu beaucoup de transactions là, qui se situaient entre 15 et 20 fois les multiples d'EBITDA payés. Donc, alors qu'on regarde des transactions plus petites, la compétition au niveau des acheteurs de ce type de petite entreprise-là est moins importante, et ce qui nous permet d'être plus compétitif. Puis aussi, lorsqu'on paye moins cher, ces petites acquisitions-là ont plus d'opportunités de croissance. Là, à notre avis, on a eu beaucoup de succès récemment là-dedans. Donc, une autre question de Rick Peterson cette fois-ci. Congrats on the increased revenue number. A key part of that is recurring revenues. H2O recurring revenue are very high, which is impressive and truly remarkable. Thank you, Rick. Is this trend sustainable? How do you propose to keep the recurring revenue constantly at that level? Frédéric, I'll let you answer. Maybe you want to translate the question.
Donc, un commentaire de Rick Peterson à l'effet que nos banques récurrentes sont quand même déjà de haut niveau. Donc, la question était comment on va s'assurer de maintenir ce haut niveau de banques récurrentes-là pour les années à venir. Well, first of all, I mean, we have been enjoying our business model relying essentially on higher operation and maintenance business revenue and more consumables from specialty products. So these two in itself drive additional or high percentages of our revenues. As we continue to make acquisition and grow organically, first the operation and maintenance, which is part of our focus on a strategy of M&A. As we add new products again coming from innovation, as we acquire maybe companies on the specialty product front, these drivers will help us to maintain this high level of, let's say, 85% plus of recurring revenues. Donc, oui, depuis les dernières années, on a pu bénéficier aujourd'hui d'avoir un pourcentage de nos ventes et de revenus qui reposent sur un important montant de revenus pendant l'opération maintenance. La même chose pour les produits de spécialité, donc il y a beaucoup de consommateurs. Ça fait en sorte que ça rend notre modèle d'affaires beaucoup plus prévisible. Donc, peut-être en tout maintenant, pour continuer dans ce même sens-là, pour maintenir ce haut niveau de vente récurrente, sera de poursuivre aussi avec des acquisitions qui vont dans ce sens-là, donc des acquisitions supplémentaires du côté de l'opération maintenance, qu'on ciblait, des acquisitions au niveau de plus de produits de spécialité également et de l'innovation qui viendra ajouter en plus au maintien de ces hauts niveaux de revenus récurrents. Merci.
Frédéric, I will ask a complementary question that you could maybe address to this topic. Andrew Leno from National Bank, analyst at National Bank, is asking, which business pillar do you plan to focus more on both organic growth investment and acquisition. Donc, André Leno qui nous demande, qui est analyste à la Banque nationale, nous demande sur quel pilier d'affaires on envisage de mettre plus d'emphase pour, autant pour la croissance organique que pour les acquisitions.
So our strategy, as I said first, for M&A, and it was previously announced in the previous plan, hasn't changed. So we try to focus first on operation and maintenance, tuck-in acquisition, because it is a very fragmented market. Also, we want to add more specialty products through acquisition. So these are the main focus, short term. Then for organic growth, our strategy will be to continue to do as we did. We went first to the low-hanging fruits, which is adding more people on the service end because it provides more return revenues. We're going to continue to focus on more operation and maintenance. I have to say that for the short term, an easy way to grow, again, in a disciplined manner, the business will be to secure more projects business from the first business pillar, WTS. If we're able to secure more projects of $2, $4, $5, $6 million, it's a way that we could increase rapidly the growth. And we are on focus on that, while remaining disciplined on the margins that we're capturing on these new projects. Donc la stratégie ici est sur deux volets, la stratégie d'acquisition avec un focus d'abord au niveau de l'opération maintenance et les processus spécialisés, tel que mentionné par auparavant, mais aussi au niveau de la croissance organique, bien, on le fait un peu dans toutes nos divisions, où on peut le faire. Une façon rapide de le faire aussi est du côté du premier business pillar, donc des nouveaux projets qu'on pourrait sécuriser à quelques millions, donc 2, 3 ou 4 ou 5 millions, qui nous permettraient d'accélérer beaucoup notre croissance, mais tout en restant discipliné sur les marges. Donc, on ne veut pas faire de compromis à ce gars-là, on veut rester très discipliné sur les marges, sur les projets qu'on va clôturer.
On the same topic of M&A, Najib asking, how do you expect to finance M&A? I think you touched base on it during your presentation. And also, he wants us to clarify the non-dilutive M&A comment. Does this mean no equity dilution? Or do you have a specific FCF, I guess, free cash flow, per share accretion hurdle rate? Frederick,
I'll
translate it. Do you want me to translate it quickly? Donc, Nadji nous demande, toujours sur le sujet des fusions acquisitions, comment est-ce qu'on envisage financer ces fusions acquisitions? Et aussi, on nous demande de clarifier un commentaire qu'on faisait durant la présentation sur le fait que les acquisitions seraient non-dilutives. Est-ce que ça veut dire que il n'y aura pas d'émission d'équité ou que l'équité diverait davantage la compagnie ou les actionnaires? Et puis aussi, on nous demande si on envisage un free cash flow per share, je cherche la traduction en français. Alors, à toi, Frédéric.
Merci, Marc. Pour la première portion, revient à l'intention de Banque Forte accompagnée par l'acquisition. On veut le faire encore une fois de façon prudente, donc maintenir des ratios de moins de 2,5 fois au niveau de l'EBITDA pour l'endettement. On priorise d'abord que ce soit non dilutif. Maintenant, il se pourrait que pour des fois dans une transaction pour faciliter une transition avec une équipe de management, on puisse vouloir émettre des actions à une équipe de management qui, eux, vont continuer avec nous, par exemple. Donc, mais ce qu'on cherche à dire, c'est qu'il n'y aura pas de financement pour de levée d'équité comme tel à court terme pour des plus petites transactions. Maintenant, on va rester opportuniste. S'il y a des transactions de plus grande envergure, on pourrait envisager un financement, mais ils sont terminés à toute chose pour ça. Donc, our strategy is the same. We want to maintain, debt to EBITDA ratio under 2.5 times. Here, what we're trying to aim when we say a non-dilutive transaction is that we do not intend to raise specific equity financing or do a specific equity financing to perform these deals, again, because we're looking for tuck-ins. We want to do it first from our revolver. Now, there might be a small portion of equity that might be issued for existing owners that want to continue a transition with us as part of a transaction. But again, the main purpose is try to avoid the dilution through a new equity financing.
Thank you, Frederick. So there is another question, here from Andrew Leno from National Bank. Any plans / thoughts on uplisting on the TSX? Est-ce que nous avons un plan ou des idées ou éventuellement considérons de se lister sur la grande bourse de Toronto?
Donc, je vous dirais que c'est la suite logique maintenant pour H2O Innovation. On a, je pense, fait nos classes, on a démontré notre portabilité, on a démontré tous les critères financiers, notre solidité financière, on a le bilan. Donc, c'est vraiment la suite logique des choses pour nous. On y travaille. On s'attend peut-être à des bonnes nouvelles dans ce sens-là pour l'année qui s'en vient, 2022. Mais c'est la suite logique des choses. Donc, ça, c'est vraiment imminent. Donc, pour nous, at this point, it is the next natural step that we're going to go through. We have all the financial criteria to graduate to the big board, to the TSX. It's the next logical step. We'll do it, again, because we have the financial criteria, because we have the strength and the robustness in our balance sheet. I would say that stay tuned. Most likely in 2022, it is imminent that this kind of listing on the big board should happen.
Question here, Frédéric, from Rick Peterson. European investment funds have a long history of supporting growth companies in the water sector. Is the European financial sector an area you plan on expanding, given your footprint in Spain and the UK especially? Donc, en français, les investisseurs européens, surtout des fonds institutionnels européens, ont un historique d'investissement dans les entreprises dans le secteur de l'eau qui sont en croissance. Alors, la question, c'est est-ce que les institutions européennes financières sont considérées comme étant éventuellement des investisseurs dans H2O, surtout considérant le fait qu'on a déjà une bonne présence en Espagne puis en Angleterre?
La réponse, c'est oui, tout à fait. De façon historique, nos premiers actionnaires ont d'abord été en Europe. Franchement, au tout début des années 2000, on avait jusqu'en 2008 environ 50 à 60% de la détention d'actions était européenne. Je voudrais que les Européens, de façon générale, ont peut-être une vision un petit peu plus avant-gardiste sur nous en matière de traitement d'eau que nous, on peut avoir nous aussi en Amérique. Donc, oui, notre intention, c'est d'accroître notre actionnariat vers l'Europe. Donc, strangely, at the beginning of H2O Innovation, when I co-founded the company back in 2000, our first investors were in Europe, Switzerland, France, and Netherlands. Up to 2008 before the financial crisis hit. So we believe that there is actually more long-term vision and understanding and awareness about water treatment in general in Europe than investors here, generally speaking, again. So yes, our intention to further grow our presence now that we have operations in Europe is absolutely a next logical step for us. And we're going to take actions on that end.
Thank you, Frederic. There's a last question. There's one last question, Frédéric, from Naji, analyst at the Industrial Alliance. On your ESG objectives, do you expect to align executive compensation to ESG targets? Where would you need to reduce carbon emissions to get closer to your 2040 zero net target? Donc, en français, sur nos objectifs ESG, est-ce que nous alignons la rémunération de la haute direction sur les objectifs ESG? Et puis, une deuxième question qui est où est-ce que nous allons mettre l'emphase pour réduire les émissions de carbone à effet de serre pour atteindre notre objectif de 2040 qui est de zéro émission?
Parfait. Two follow-ups to your questions. First, yes, we're going to incorporate ESG components with objectives as part of the variable remuneration that we have for our managers. This will be rolled out, however, for the next fiscal year because right now we have already set the targets for our current fiscal year for June 2022. So we're going to introduce these metrics as part of the remuneration plan for our managers starting on July 1st, 2022. But yes, there will be a component attached to the variable remuneration as part of the roadmap and the 360 and ESG component. The other aspect of the questions related to emissions. So yes, we have about a fleet of more than 550 vehicles all around the company. So our intention will be to progressively replace these vehicles with alternative fuel vehicles or electrical vehicles to try to aim at reducing it. Reducing the emission, but we're going to work as well to optimize the movement of these vehicles within the same area. For example, we have about 120 employees within the Houston area with multiple trucks moving around. So it's part of our plan to optimize the route and the movement of these vehicles so that we're going to reduce time spent in the car, emission, and be more efficient also in the way we are addressing services. Donc, le volet, il y a deux volets à la réponse. Le premier étant, donc les objectifs de ESG seront incorporés à la rémunération variable de nos dirigeants, de tous nos dirigeants. Et ça va se faire à compter du 1er juillet 2022, parce que là, on est déjà en cours d'exercice. Donc, ce sera au début de la nouvelle année financière que ces objectifs-là seront incorporés auprès de l'équipe de management, comme étant des objectifs à rémunération variable. Le deuxième volet est concernant la réduction des gaz à effet de serre. Donc, on a au total environ 550 véhicules dans toute la compagnie. Notre intention, c'est de faire deux choses. Progressivement, remplacer ces véhicules-là par des véhicules électriques ou des énergies alternatives. Et deuxièmement, travailler à optimiser le déplacement de ces véhicules-là à l'intérieur d'une même géographie. Donc, on a environ 120 employés dans la région de Houston, par exemple, seulement, où on a beaucoup de mouvements de véhicules qu'on peut optimiser pour réduire le temps passé dans les véhicules et réduire ainsi les émissions de
There's one more question on the chat. Maybe we could go see the operator, Julianne, the operator, to see if there are any questions on the line.
Certainly. Pour poser une question, s'il vous plaît, appuyez sur l'étoile suivie par le numéro 1. If you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star followed by the number 1. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Et nous n'avons pas de questions. Frédéric Digret, je retourne la parole. We have no questions. I would like to turn the call back over to Frédéric Digret.
Merci beaucoup, Julianne. Thank you, Julianne. Do we have more questions in the room here in Quebec? I see there's one. Deux vraiment très bonnes questions. Juste une petite note pour m'en rappeler. Donc, I'll translate it back to you. So there's two questions. So one related to, do we have any goods coming from China, any goods that are strategic as part of our supply chain? That's the first question. The second part is related to freight. Are we facing any freight issue with a global issue related to freight and movement of goods around the world? Donc, je vais répondre en français. I'll answer first in French and then get back in English. Premièrement, en français, oui, on a des produits qui sont faits en Chine. On a une gamme de produits. En fait, ceci, par exemple, fait partiellement. Donc, l'ingénierie consistant à être par nous en Afrique, en Espagne, mais la fabrication est faite en Chine sur des fonds. C'est une relation d'affaires qu'on a depuis plusieurs années avec cette fonderie-là. Jusqu'à présent, ça se passe très bien. On est allé nous-mêmes faire des audits à plusieurs reprises sur le travail qui est fait à la fonderie, la qualité et l'environnement qui est là-bas. Maintenant, c'est sûr qu'on regarde d'autres alternatives. Comme plusieurs entreprises, on regarde d'autres alternatives. On ne veut pas être seulement dépendant de la Chine. Donc, avec notre équipe de procurement et d'approvisionnement, on fait des démarches pour aussi envisager autre chose. Mais on exporte aussi beaucoup vers la Chine. Donc, on a un trade balance avec la Chine qui est quand même important. En fait, on exporte plus en Chine qu'on importe de la Chine. Donc, je vois que ça répond quand même un peu à votre question. C'est un produit quand même qui est important. Oui, c'est quand même un produit qui est important, qui est stratégique. C'est dans plusieurs systèmes de traitement d'eau. C'est pour ça aussi qu'on est diligent dans le contrôle qualité à la fois, mais aussi dans peut-être envisager d'autres sources d'approvisionnement. Deuxième volet, c'est sur le transport de marchandises, des containers. Oui, c'est un problème, c'est des délais grandissants qu'on voit de plus en plus. En fait, je vous dirais, on a vu là, progressivement ces délais-là se passer à partir du début de l'été jusqu'à encore à ce jour. La bonne nouvelle, c'est que on a pu mitiger un peu ce problème-là en augmentant aussi nos inventaires et on voit aussi que nos clients aussi sont plus proactifs dans la commande aussi des produits, ils les commandent plus en avance, pour ne pas se faire prendre en dernière minute. Mais mois après mois, on voit quand même des retards. c'est pas les commandes qu'on perd, mais on voit que, par exemple, il y a un nombre de commandes, mettons environ $1 million de commandes de produits chimiques qui devaient être récupérées à la fin du mois, qui sont basculées au mois suivant, puis le mois suivant encore. Fait que ça suit ton cours, c'est pas des revenus perdus encore, mais c'est un problème qui est quand même important. Et pour mitiger ce problème-là, à l'entrée comme à la sortie, on a progressivement augmenté nos inventaires aussi pour être capable de fermer nos clients. Two answers. First one regarding China. So yes, we make couplings in China for the Piedmont product line. These couplings were important to the company. We are currently also, we have a great relationship with the supplier out there for years. We have visited them and audited the facility there in China multiple times. So we're pleased with the quality, we're pleased with the handcraft being done. However, yes, we are on the look for different alternatives because of the global, you know, supply chain issues. We export as we import. We export actually even more products to China. So China is also an important customer of us when it comes to our specialty chemicals. On the freight side, the second question was related to freight. Yes, it's a global issue that we are very well aware. Month after month, we have seen a delay, mostly starting earlier in last summer till today. Now, to mitigate this problem, we have been very proactive also to increase our inventory to make sure that we have sufficient supply to continue to provide our customers. But also, our clients, our distributors, have been also proactive in making sure that they give themselves sufficient time and lead time to order this to mitigate the problems or interruption of supply. But from month to month, we have seen orders being pushed because they're not being picked up by our freight forwarders. But they're not lost again. These orders are not lost. They're just pushed from one month to the other. So it's kind of a rolling thing. But it is actually an important issue, and we're finding ways to mitigate it. Donc, questions à la salle? Other questions? No? In the room? All right, excellent. Donc, s'il y a plus d'autres questions dans le chat room et en ligne, we'll conclude the annual meeting and the presentation. So as we previously mentioned, we believe that we're very well aligned with the 2023 strategic plan. We feel also that our objectives with the ESG plan combined to our financial targets set for the next 3 years, for the 2024, will inspire, motivate, and guide our nearly 800-plus employees that we have, inspired as well our customers and suppliers and the shareholders. We think H2O Innovation right now is at an inflection point in its history, and that many strategic milestones and catalyst events will take place in the coming 3 years, allowing us to accelerate our growth and profitability. By executing our plan, we will create tremendous value for the shareholders while preserving our strong company culture. I want to thank you all for your patience, for your trust, and your continued support. Donc, en gros, on est confiant des objectifs qu'on a fixés pour la prochaine année et pour les objectifs 2023. On est excessivement excités, évidemment, par les objectifs maintenant qu'on a présentés pour 2024. Quoi qu'il y ait beaucoup à faire, on considère que ces objectifs-là sont atteignables et on envisage, évidemment, au travers de la croissance d'entreprise sur l'amélioration du profit, créer énormément de valeur pour nos actionnaires. Mais surtout, on va créer aussi un plan qui va être fort excitant pour nos employés, qui va être mobilisant pour nos employés, à la fois aussi pour nos clients, donc tous les stakeholders qu'on a dans la compagnie. Donc, voilà, je vous remercie beaucoup pour votre patience, pour votre support et votre confiance. Merci. Bonne journée.
Ceci conclut la conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.